That was some music from the Ed Wood film, Plan 9 from Outer Space. Welcome to Words and Pictures, the show about the narrative arts. I'm your host, S.W. Conser, and today we're talking about the films of legendary low-budget director Ed Wood. Ian Sundahl is an artist, director, comics creator, and the film collector behind Repressed Cinema, a regular screening program at the Hollywood Theater. Adam Tamberg is a film archivist, projectionist, production designer, and erotic cinematologist. Ian and Adam, welcome to Words and Pictures.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks, Conch.
So guys, before we talk about this Ed Wood centennial celebration that you're putting on, let's give a little bit of background about Ed Wood Jr. He was born on October 10th, 1924, almost 100 years ago now, and practically from the day he was born, he was obsessed with movies.
Yeah, he's from Poughkeepsie, New York, and he loved cinema. That was his whole thing growing up as a child.
Now, many of our listeners have seen the 1994 Tim Burton film starring Johnny Depp as Ed Wood. That film won a couple of Academy Awards, including the Best Supporting Actor Oscar for Martin Landau, who plays Bela Lugosi. So that was a really interesting biopic. And one of the things that the film got right, the Tim Burton film got right, was how supportive Ed Wood was of Bela Lugosi during a really difficult time in Bela's life.
Yeah, he gave him work when nobody else would. So got him involved in some interesting projects he wouldn't have been otherwise introduced to, really. But he even squeezed him into Plan 9, barely.
And one of the films that you're putting on has a Bela Lugosi appearance in it.
Yes, it's Glenn or Glenda, where Bela basically plays God. Basically the puppet master who's pulling the string. He even says that line, pull the string. Yeah, that was all his thing, was just sitting in a chair. He was paid $1,000 and did the lines, and that was his line.
So yeah, let's talk a little bit about Glenn or Glenda, because that's one of the films that you're going to be putting on. It's an interesting film. I wonder what today's genderqueer community would think of the movie. I mean, Glenn or Glenda was marketed at the time kind of salaciously, like an exploitation film. Its original title was I Changed My Sex.
Well, it was originally produced by George Weiss, who actually had bought the rights to the Christine Jurgensen story. And he had Ed go make the Christine Jurgensen story. And basically, it turned into the Ed Wood story.
Yeah, Ed Wood was not only sympathetic, but he was personally a part of what would now be called the trans community.
Yes, he was a transvestite. He liked wearing women's clothes, had an affinity for Angora. His favorite thing was Angora.
And one of the things that you see in the biopic, the Ed Wood biopic by Tim Burton, was Ed was in the U.S. Marines during World War II, and he said later that while his battalion was fighting in the Pacific, he was wearing a pink bra and panties under his uniform.
They actually said it was actually a red bra and panties. Yes, they're under his uniform. And he was actually one of the only people in one of the battles to come out. Like 3,000 went in and 350 came out, and Ed Wood was one of them. He got decorated with Purple Hearts and many medals for that battle that he was in.
Okay, so obviously this is an interesting character. And I mean, you guys who have worked in film for so many years, naturally you'd be drawn to him. You know, the most memorable Ed Wood movies were made in the 1950s. I mean, we're talking about Plan 9 from Outer Space, Glenn or Glenda, Bride of the Monster. That was a little too early for them to achieve the ironic cult status that came later to films like White Zombie or Reefer Madness or Todd Browning's Freaks.
Yeah, during that time period, his films were barely seen in the public eye. They did get some TV appearances, but even Glenn or Glenda wasn't even premiered like until much later on from when they actually filmed it, because they couldn't figure out how to like sell the movie, you know. And George actually at one point to sell the movie more, he put in some bondage footage, like soft bondage footage, to make the movie longer and to sell it to different territories. So that was one of the things that George did.
So there was kind of a second circuit, like besides the Hollywood films, that was for exploitation films. You'd see things like supposed travelogues that were kind of an excuse to show bare-breasted women in the Pacific Islands, something like that.
Yeah, during the heyday of exploitation, that was the way you would get some nudity to the people, was just to do like have some like people in a foreign land doing something, and they would have naked breasts, and that's how they got around censors and to fill the desires of the people who are watching them to sell it, you know.
Yeah, and later on, like in the 1960s and 1970s, when standards loosened up a bit, those kind of films, they benefited from the rise of revival theaters and campus cinemas, where people could look at them more ironically and, you know, maybe go and see them with the benefit of psychoactive substances.
Well, even in that time period, there were theaters, downtown theaters across America. People called them grindhouses, and they would just show stuff like that sometime in the afternoon, in the night. You know, it's just something to fill in the whole thing of showing movies, you know. So, and then, yes, then later on, Reefer Madness was bought by, what was it, New Line Cinemas. Before New Line Cinemas became New Line Cinemas, they bought a print of Reefer Madness and started showing it to colleges across America.
Now, film critic Michael Medved unintentionally had a lot to do with Ed Wood's career revival. Medved wrote a book called The Golden Turkey Awards in 1980, where he named Plan 9 from Outer Space the worst film ever made and named Ed the worst director of all time.
I have to say, I've seen some worse movies than Ed's work now in the world that we live in. You know, it's, there is some garbage out there. And Ed is actually like pretty high up on like the level of like filmmaking in standards of other filmmakers of the time, you know?
Yeah. There's also kind of a good, bad and a bad good. So it's kind of depends how you look at it, but are they visually interesting? Do they make a statement? Are they personal narratives? Ed's movies qualify for most of those checklists. And, a lot of other bad movies don't.
Okay, let's play the trailer from the Ed Wood film, Glenn or Glenda.
Then comes the major surgery, the removal of the man and the formation of the woman. A woman born at the age of 24.
A new life is begun.
The body of the woman within begins to appear now. The world is shocked by a person who changed his sex. Thus, the strange case of Glenn, who was Glenda, one and the same person, not half man, half woman, but nevertheless, man and woman in the same body. He dares to enter the street dressed in the clothes he so much desires to wear. Glenn is engaged to be married to Barbara. Glenn's problem is a deep one, but he must tell her soon. She's begun to notice things. Soon she will realize. He learned that foreign doctors were doing marvelous work with a sex change. Man to woman, woman to man.
Say, did you read about the guy that had his sex changed to a girl? Says he was perfectly normal, too.
How can a guy be normal and go and do a thing like that to himself?
What about their children, Doctor? Would their children become the same way their father is?
Glenda has made the decision.
If the newspapers had not gotten hold of the story, it would have gone untold, unnoticed as so many others in medical history.
Why is the modern world shocked by this headline? Why?
Do you realize what would happen if every man in the country that wanted to wear women's clothes or felt like a woman went to their doctors and wanted a sex change?
Glenn and all the hundreds of thousands of other Glens across the nation face quite a problem.
That was the trailer from the Ed Wood film, Glenn or Glenda. You're listening to Words and Pictures. I'm your host, S.W. Conser. And today we're talking about the 100th birthday of legendary low-budget director Ed Wood. Our guests are film archivists Adam Tamberg and Ian Sundahl, who are putting together a screening of Ed Wood films and trailers at Portland's Clinton Street Theater. What was your introduction to the films of Ed Wood and what really struck you about them?
I can say for myself, just going to video stores, hunting down the obscure stuff, and I never really saw Ed Wood much movies on TV much, but definitely at the video store, you know, Something Weird put out a lot of his stuff, and Rhino, and Bootlegs, but so that was my introduction. And then in starting in film collecting, I started to get some prints of his. That's one thing I want to add is this: our show on the 10th of October is all 16 millimeter, but Adam's bringing in his Glenda print. I've got the Necromania print. We've got trailers for Ed and some related short subjects, so it's going to be all in 16 millimeter too.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about, this is one I've never heard of before. It's called Necromania, and you say this is, to this day, this is still a triple X rated film.
Well, actually, it is a triple X and a soft X movie, and actually the version that we'll be showing will be a soft X movie that was made for $7,000 in June of 1971. It stars an actress, her name is Renee Bond, and she basically became known as the Princess of Porn because she was in numerous amounts of films, and she's also one of the first people to have breast augmentation. So yeah, Necromania, there's some scenes that are quite interesting. There's actually a scene that's technically still missing from the movie. It's where a scene where Ed actually plays like a wizard, kind of like Bella in Glenn or Glenda, as like the puppet master, and he plays a wizard in this movie. And the scene, I don't think, has still yet been found. It's a lost scene still. But there's a company that put it out on a DVD, and they have a scene that's kind of like it, but it's not Ed, it's some other guy that they just inserted, like a wizard slash like Satan scene. But yeah, as of right now, that scene is still not found that I know of.
So this is Necromania, a tale of weird love. And it involves a married couple visiting a wizard in the hopes of getting their sexual problems solved, and things spiral from there.
Yeah, well, actually, in the movie itself, the wizard scene with Ed is actually just like a sub area of the movie, but it's actually like this other like necromancer woman who is going to like help the couple and fix their problems. It's an interesting little movie. There's a lot of like Ed moments. You know, actually the character that Renee plays is actually a character named Shirley, and Shirley was actually Ed's drag name that also was used like in Glenn or Glenda, and anytime he was out in the world as that, he was Shirley. That's his character name. So Renee plays Shirley in the movie. More on Necromania though. Criswell was a character that Ed collaborated many a times with. And in Necromania, his coffin is actually used. Criswell had his own coffin.
So Criswell was a showman that did these
predictions.
Yeah, he did these predictions, and he shows up in Plan 9 from Outer Space. He's kind of the bookend of that movie. And in the Ed Wood biopic, he's played by Jeffrey Jones. So he was kind of popular, and he came into the Ed Wood orbit along with folks like Bela Lugosi, of course.
Lugosi, Tor Johnson.
Vampira. And it should be noted, Criswell doesn't actually appear in Necromania, just his coffin. Just his coffin, yeah. Yeah, I read in the Nightmare of Ecstasy book by Rudolph Gray, the great oral history book, Ed Wood wanted Vampira to appear in the movie, but she wouldn't do it because it was porno. I guess making pornos were still illegal back in that time, wasn't it? In L.A. in 71?
Yes, they were still illegal.
Yeah, so it was kind of a different time. But yeah, it's an interesting movie. It's very dreamlike, creates an interesting atmosphere.
Yeah, this was after the production rating system came into effect, the GPGR and X system in 1968, but at the time it was still a no-no to do hardcore porn.
Yes, it was still a no-no. And it's very interesting if you think about it, but Ed was actually one of the first people who actually started really making hardcore movies in the 70s. You know, this movie is pre-Deep Throat, a couple months, but still, it's like Ed was actually like a pioneer in a way for these movies, even though he just was making a buck, you know.
So you mentioned Vampira, also known as Myla Nurmi. She's an Oregonian, well celebrated here. She, along with Lon Chaney Jr. and Bela Lugosi, would go on the Red Skelton Show, and Ed would help put on stage shows in Las Vegas for Bela Lugosi called the Bela Lugosi Review. He promoted Bela's TV appearances, also acted as his dialogue coach. I mean, it was sad. It was the twilight for Bela Lugosi, but he got to team up with Lon Chaney Jr. and Vampira on the Red Skelton Show and other shows at the time in the 1950s.
Yeah, and actually, the last movie, The Ghoul Goes West, he was supposed to be with John Carradine and Lon Chaney Jr. And I can't remember the Western guy who actually, is there either Roy Rogers or Gene Autry that actually was like backing the idea that he would produce that if Bela was in The Ghoul Goes West. And that was the footage that was shot, that was used in Plan 9.
This is the famous lost movie, the movie that never was, Ghoul Goes West.
Yeah, the movie never happened. It was just the footage is in Plan 9. But the script existed.
Let's play a clip from the Ed Wood film, Orgy of the Dead.
It is said on clear nights, beneath the cold light of the moon, howl the dog and the wolf, and creeping things crawl out of the slime. It is then the ghouls feast in all their radiance. It is on nights like this, most people prefer to steer clear of burial grounds. It is on nights like this that the creatures are said to appear and to walk. The day is gone, the night is upon us, and the moon, which controls all of the underworld, once again shines in radiant contentment. Come forth, O Princess of Darkness.
That was a clip from the Ed Wood film, Orgy of the Dead. You're listening to Words and Pictures. I'm your host, S.W. Conser. And today we're talking about the 100th birthday of legendary low-budget director Ed Wood. Our guests are film archivists Adam Tamberg and Ian Sundahl, who are putting together a screening of Ed Wood films and trailers at Portland's Clinton Street Theater. Well, let's talk about some of the background for Glenn and Glenda. You say it was the Christine Jorgensen story originally, before it got transformed in the hands of Ed Wood. So give us some background. This was the mid-1950s, and gender surgery was a very new thing.
Yeah, it was one of like the thing that made national headlines. And because George Weiss was an exploitation filmmaker, producer, he would just take rip from the headlines things, and he literally saw that man changes to woman, and we're going to make a movie, and it's right now. And then he contacted her and was like, we're making a movie of your life. We're doing it. So that's like the whole thing of just like exploitation, where it's like you are actually making rip from the headlines style movies. And George Weiss even like would go on later on and be part of this franchise called the Olga franchise, where they're like very brutal, sadistic ones called the White Slaves of Chinatown, Olga's Girls, and Olga's House of Shame, which is the trilogy. And George Weiss was the actual producer of those. And that's why it's interesting with George Weiss that to sell Glenn or Glenda again, he actually added 50s bondage girl scenes. So it kind of like shows you where George Weiss's ideas were to make money.
And how did Ed Wood come into George Weiss's orbit?
He just, I think, just kind of like answered the ad, you know, like, we're looking for young directors to make movies. And Ed just showed up at his office one day, or someone was like, hey, Ed, go talk to that guy. And he was like, all right. And he went, I think that's how it goes.
So you're both Ed Wood fans, and you're both fans of lost cinema, of obscure cinema. How has that shaped your careers?
Well, I've actually been in the film collecting business now for 20 plus years. I started running movie theaters in the early 2000s. And then through that, I was like, I like running movies, but I would love to run movies that I love, which was like horror and exploitation movies. And then one day I just made a phone call to Something Weird Video. And I talked to Mike Verrani over there and was like, how do I find movies like that you put out? And he goes, pick up a big reel. And he hung up the phone on me. And then that day I went to the newsstand, picked up a big reel. And through that, I started finding people selling 16, 35 millimeter films. And I started collecting them. And with Ed alone, this would be my fifth Ed Wood screening. I started doing Ed screenings in 2003 when I played Glenn or Glenda. Then 2004, I did Bride of the Monster, 16 millimeter print that someone let me borrow at an all-nighter. Then I did a one-off at some bar in 2005 of that. And then in 2014, on Ed's 90th birthday, I played Glenn or Glenda and this Necromania, but from video, and then also played the documentary A Look Back in Angora. And the director of that, Ted Newsom, showed up to that screening. So yeah, I've been doing the Wood Trail for many years now.
Yeah, I just love seeing his movies on the big screen on film, and I've got prints of his films, Jailbait and Revenge of the Virgins, which Ed wrote. So I've played those at the Hollywood at my series. Yeah, we both got a history of showing Ed Wood, I guess.
And that's your series, Repressed Cinema.
Yeah, it's usually every other month at the Hollywood now, just showing oddball stuff from my collection. Usually on 16 millimeter, sometimes on 35. But it should be noted this Ed Wood show is going to be at the Clinton Street Theater, who were daring enough to show the X-rated version of Necromania here. So it's going to be at the Clinton.
How did you guys get together on this project?
I've been talking with Ian for years now through the film collecting community. One of the things another director that we both enjoy is this guy named Andy Milligan, who is, they would call the Ed Wood of the East. So we were trying to do a deal with some Andy Milligan stuff. And through that, we just started talking more and more. And then one day we were talking and I was like, hey, let's do an Ed show on his 100th birthday. And, you know, it's becoming like a cultural moment also, because it's like 100 years of a filmmaker. You know, like Orson Welles, you know, people celebrated Orson Welles at his 100th, you know, and now we're celebrating Ed at his 100th.
And Adam, you're coming out from Ohio.
I actually live now in Ohio. I used to live in Los Angeles. And when I lived in Los Angeles / Hollywood, I actually walked the same streets that Ed walked. So I can actually walk down the street and be like, oh, Ed made that there. That was that, you know, so I actually sat and saw a lot of like Ed's life. And also I got to know this guy named Bob Blackburn, who is one of the heirs to the Wood estate, Kathy Wood, Ed's widow. They were neighbors and he knew her, and I met him and he showed me some like home movie footage. And he's doing a show also in Los Angeles on the 10th. So it's like, it's everywhere. It's happening all over the place. Like it's LA, it's here, it's in Poughkeepsie. They might be doing a ceremony where they say that the 10th will actually be Ed Wood Day, you know, and they're eventually going to possibly build a statue there. I know of a guy in Missouri who's also doing one of the screenings. So it's happening all across the country and all across the world. Ed's being celebrated at 100.
And you also have some shorts and some trailers as part of this show. Tell us about that.
Sure. There's Ed had a connection to Corla Pandit, the musician. So we got one of his shorts, Organist, from LA Television.
Oh, no. Tell us some more about this connection.
Ed was friends with Coil Pandit. Coil Pandit was a musician in LA. He had his own TV show. What was it called, Adam?
Coral Panda, like mystic something. I can't remember offhand.
Yeah, he wore a turban and he played the organ. He actually played at the organ grinder I heard once here in Portland. But he also made these short films, and we'll play one of those before the opening of the movie. He was friends with Ed Wood. He actually, Coil Pandit himself made a cameo in the Ed Wood Tim Burton movie. And then we've got some trailers where Ed shows up in Fugitive Girls as a janitor and does the narration to that. I think there's a trailer for The Violent Years. Do you remember what else, Adam?
I think that might be it. There might be something else that will just be added in. We're just still building.
Yeah, I think there's one more thing, but it's a double feature, so be plenty to see.
All right. Well, you've been listening to Words and Pictures. I'm your host, SW Conser, and we've been talking today about the 100th birthday of legendary low-budget director Ed Wood. Our guests are film archivists Ian Sundahl and Adam Trash Tamberg. Ian and Adam, it's been great talking with you today.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks,
Thank you
Adam.
for having. Thank you for having us. And again, October 10th at the Clinton, it's Ed Wood time.
Give us some more details about the Ed Wood Jr. 100th birthday screening.
There'll be raffle prizes. We've got some really rare items like some photocopies of his stories, DVDs, really oddball stuff. And Glenn or Glenda will play first at 7, and then Necromania at 8:30.
Along with shorts and trailers, and starts at 7 p.m., Clinton Street Theater, October 10th.
And again, we're gonna like I said, we get the raffle, and you could also get a piece of Ed Wood history by estate of Kathy Wood. So that's one of the raffle prizes. So come on down, have a piece of history.
And for those listeners who might be interested in finding out more about your archive projects, where would they look?
Right now, if you go on YouTube and you look under Adam Trash, I have a YouTube channel. That's really one of the only places. I'm also in the process of helping create a company. So more on that as time goes on. But that's about it. Just check out my YouTube, Adam Trash.
And Ian?
I've got my art and film Instagram pages linked at turbooverdrive.com with two O's, turbooverdrive.com.
Well, thanks to all our listeners on the radio dial and on the web. You can find an archived version of this show later today at kboo.fm/wordsandpictures. And be sure to follow us on social media at Words and Picture. Now let's go out now with some music from the Ed Wood film, Plan 9 from Outer Space.
My friend, you have seen this incident based on sworn testimony. Can you prove that it didn't happen? Perhaps on your way home, someone will pass you in the dark, and you will never know it, for they will be from outer space. Many scientists believe that another world is watching us this moment. We once laughed at the horseless carriage, the airplane, the telephone, the electric light, vitamins, radio, and even television. And now some of us laugh at outer space. God help us in the future.